Father, closest friend, most beautiful, most beautiful.
Speak the remaining part of this message, God. You would speak through me, God. I'm just your vessel. I'm just an instrument, oh Lord. Just speak to your people. Help us to walk away this service, God, with just an awe for who you are, to realize that you are holy, that you are mighty. There is no one like you, Lord. It's your holiness that leads us to repentance, Lord Jesus. Come and have your way. Speak into this, our hearts, Lord Jesus. Amen. Welcome to Hope Community Church. All our new visitors, we welcome you. And we'd like to say, as we jump into this new series, Spring Cleaning. How many guys love springtime? There's a delay, but you were there, all right? So, you know, springtime often requires us to pull out that pressure washer or pull out that lawnmower. And you always hear that first guy crank out that pressure washer. Like, oh, man, it's that time of year again. But you got to go and do your thing as well. And so we get all the junk out of our houses, right? All the junk that's accumulated throughout the winter. And because we just haven't been that motivated to do so throughout the rest of the year. And so spring cleaning, right? We take everything out, all the things that have collected over the years and over time. We're like, all right, it's time to clean our house. Like, yes, it's time to clean your house. But more importantly than cleaning our house and getting our yards back in order is getting our spirit man, cleaning out our spirit man, because how many of you know sometimes things tend to creep into our lives, right? And so we're going to do some spring cleaning in the next couple of weeks and just really examining our hearts to make sure that we are right with God. Amen. That's the most important thing that you can ever walk away with, is being right with God, being right with your Heavenly Father. And so the title of this one is God's Holiness Leads to Repentance. Now, we don't talk about God's holiness too often, because whenever we contemplate His holiness, then we see our unholiness, right? We see how flawed we are. We see how sinful we are. But today, we're going there. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, we're going there. Exodus chapter 19, verse 16 through 20 is going to be one of our main passages this morning. Exodus chapter 19, 16 through 20, it says, on the morning of the third day, there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast. Anybody ever heard a trumpet before? I have two boys, and they both play trumpets, all right? And so whenever they're practicing at the house, it is very, very noisy, right? And so then I have not only two trumpets playing, but I have a French horn playing, right? And then I have my little girl, she plays the ukulele. And so you can about imagine what our house sounds like during practice time. So it is a loud trumpet blast. A blast that grabs your attention. And if you ever heard a trumpet before, it will grab your attention. It doesn't matter what you're doing. You're now focused on that noise that is coming from that horn called a trumpet. So it's meant to grab you. It's meant to shake you. It's meant to sound an alarm. A very loud trumpet blast so that all the people in the camp trembled. Then Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God. And they took their stand at the foot of the mountain. Now, this mountain is Mount Sinai, but it was also referred to as Mount Horeb, the place where God called Moses from the burning bush. And he says, you know, as Moses sees this bush burning, he approaches this bush, and it's not being consumed. It's not being consumed at all. And if you've witnessed fire before, fire consumes whatever you put in that fire. It's meant to consume that wood or that tree or whatever it is that you're burning. And it wasn't burning. It was still there. And so Moses, out of curiosity, says, I'm going to take a closer look. And so as he comes closer to the mountain of God, God says, stop. The place where you're standing is holy ground. So what made it holy? The fact that God was there, right? The fact that God is holy. And he was there. So Moses receives the call to bring the Israelites out of Egypt. It was at this very mountain. And the whole purpose, God says, look, I want you to go and bring these people out of Egypt, but I want you to bring them to this place so that they can worship me. So that was the intent of God, to bring his people out of slavery, out of bondage, to worship God at this very mountain, Mount Sinai. Now, when we speak of holiness, and we speak, what does that mean? What is a, let's put a definition to it. It comes from the Hebrew word kadosh, and it's just the holiness of God as separate, apart, and so sacred, holy, God's divine name, separate from human infirmity, separate from human impurity, separate from human sin. He's exalted on his heavenly throne. In other words, words cannot describe God. We cannot categorize who God is. His holiness defines him as being separate and set apart. Now, just to kind of give you a little analogy for this, last week, so we had a party at the pastor's, right? And so we had, yeah, I'm 41 years old, pushing 41. And so anyway, I thought for sure I can hang with some of these young kids and playing basketball. Well, there's this one kid, I'm not going to name any names, I'm just going to look at him. He was in a league above everybody else, all right? he was set apart. And this kid, I mean, it doesn't matter what you try to do to stop this guy from going to the rim, you just couldn't. I could not stop him, all right? And so I had the pleasure of guarding this guy, and he just humiliated me every single time, right? He made me realize, Ted, you're 40, and I'm still young. I have it. You're kind of losing it, right? Basically. And so anyway, he was in a league of his own. When we think of God, he is in a league of his own. There is no one who can even compare to who God is. I mean, he is way over here. He is holy. He's set apart. And we're way over here. Let's go way out the door and down the street a little bit. That's how set apart God is. He's unlike us, all right? He is not like us. We're made in his image and in his likeness, but God is holy. He's set apart. Amen. And so, what we see in this passage is that we hear this, we see the thunders and we see the lightnings and we see the thick cloud on the mountain. We hear the trumpet blast and all the people begin to tremble because of the sights and the sounds. Now, the thunder and the lightning, they were meant to grab your senses. They were meant to bring attention. This is something awesome. This is something that you should take notice of. You know, whenever you see lightning, your focus is automatically on the lightning. When you hear the roars of thunder, it's like, okay, I'm alert. That's what God is presenting himself as right here. So that the people would have a holy and reverent fear for who he was, amen? So here's the thing. Why were they terrified of these sights and sounds? Because God's holiness reveals our unholiness. God's holiness and how good he is, it causes us to reflect on, man, I'm such a sinner. God, I'm insignificant. I am nothing compared to you. And so each and every one of us should have this experience in our life when we behold the holiness of God and we look at our own lives and say, woe is me. Like the prophet Isaiah, he says, woe is me, I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. That is the proper response that we should have, just as Isaiah had, whenever we behold the Lord. Woe is me. Amen. Woe is me. I am a man of unclean lips. Now, looking at verse 18, it says, now Mount Sinai was wrapped in smoke, because the Lord had descended on it. The smoke of it went up like a smoke of a kiln, and the whole mountain trembled greatly. So now, not only are the people trembling greatly, the mountain responds to the very presence of God. Now, it didn't say that the mountain was filled with fog. It says the mountain was filled with smoke. Now, if you've been to the Smoky Mountains before, or it might appear to be smoke, but it's really fog, right? But in this particular case, it says that the mountain was filled with smoke. Smoke only happens whenever there's a fire, whenever something is consuming, whenever something is burning. The mountain was on fire because God was on the mountain, amen? And so the mountain began smoking, and the people began trembling. It's an awful sight to behold if you're an unbeliever, if you're a person who's living in sin and living according to your own selfish ways, you should be afraid. You should tremble greatly. Because up to this point, the Israelites have not proven themselves to be a righteous group of people. Even, we're only in chapter 19, but they have already proven themselves to be a bunch of complainers, a bunch of whiners. They begin blaming Aaron and Moses for bringing them out into the wilderness. They say, "What? Were there not enough graves in Egypt that you took us out here in the wilderness to die?" And then they begin to complain about not having water. They complain about not having food. I mean, we're only in Exodus 19, and we find that this group is just really a sour group. You know, they're just a bunch of complainers. And you're like, "God, why did you go through so much trouble to deliver these people out of Egypt whenever they're just a bunch of complainers?" But then we look at our lives and we're like, "Oh, okay, well, thank you, Lord. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy, because me too, I'm just as guilty as the Israelites. I'm just as guilty as complaining like the Israelites. I'm just as guilty." And so the Lord is just very merciful to these Israelites people. And so he brings them to the mountain of God, to the place. This was the big event. This was where God had intended for them to be. They were to come to this mountain, to Mount Sinai, to worship. And they were there. The mountain is trembling, the earth is quaking, the mountain's on fire, and this is just an incredible sight. You know, Judges chapter 5 talks about the mountain responding. It says the mountains quake before the Lord, and even before Sinai, before the Lord, the God of Israel. And here's the thing, whenever the mountain saw God, it responded. Whenever the people experienced God's deliverance, many of them remain hard-hearted. It's amazing. Looking at verse 19, it says, "And as the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him in the thunder. The Lord came down on Mount Sinai to the top of the mountain, and the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up." Only Moses was called at this time. Everyone else were to remain at the bottom of the mountain. They were to wait. They were to consecrate themselves. And only Moses was called up to the presence of God, to the top of the mountain. But what happened was many of them became curious. They were like, "Huh," just as Moses was curious with that burning bush, they began to approach the mountain whenever God specifically said, "Do not." And so God tells Moses, "You better go down there. You better go down there. These people are trying to come up the mountain whenever I told them not to." I mean, you have kids and you tell them not to do something and they're like, "Well, Mom told me not to do that. Let me do that anyway, right? Let me just see how far I can go to the line, right, without getting in trouble." And so it's our natural human tendencies, right? We're inclined to do evil things. We're inclined to rebel against God. And so God sends Moses back down the mountain. But meanwhile, back in the camp, and so God is speaking to Moses, and as God is speaking to Moses, the Israelites are seeing the lightning, they're hearing the thunder as the voice of God just really shaking everything. And look what happens back in Exodus 20, the next chapter over, Exodus 20, verse 18 to 21. It says, "Now when all the people saw the thunder and the flashes of lightning and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking, the people were afraid and trembled, and they stood far off and said to Moses, 'You speak to us, and we will listen, but do not let God speak to us, lest we die.'" They feared for their life. They heard the voice of God and the roars of thunder, and they feared for their life. We need to have a reverence of God to the fact that we don't just sin casually. We don't just sin and think that it's a little thing. We don't realize who we are sinning against. We're sinning against a holy and a righteous God. When the Israelites heard his voice, they were afraid that they were going to die. They were scared for their life. He says, really the Lord was wanting them to hear his voice directly. We know this because in chapter 19, verse 9, it says, "Behold, I am coming to you," he's talking to Moses, "in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with you and may also believe you forever." So it was the Lord's intent, it was the Lord's desire that his people would indeed hear his voice. And so if the Lord had arranged this, then obviously the Lord knew that their bodies can handle it. But in their own mind, in their own twisted thinking, they said, we will die. The Lord is wanting us to hear his voice. The Lord is wanting us to hear the voice of our shepherd. The Bible says, you know, in the New Testament, those who hear my voice, you know, I am the good shepherd, and those who hear my voice, they will follow me, and they will not follow another. And so this is the intent. This is the heart of God. He is wanting to communicate to his people, but something prevented them from listening. They said, Moses, you be the person to go to God. You be the person that hears from God, and you come back and speak to us. We're going to listen to you. Can't listen to God. What keeps us? What keeps us from hearing God's voice? What keeps us from drawing near to the one who loves us so much? Our unholiness. Our unholiness brings a separation from God. Amen? So, because of our sin, there's this big separation. Because they know they're a bunch of complainers. They know they haven't been worthy of anything good. They have proven themselves just to really, they deserve God's judgment. And so because of their sin, there's this separation which keeps them from approaching the mountain of God, which keeps them from hearing the voice of God because of sin. Sin separates us from a holy and righteous God. Whenever you fall into sin, you feel like the Holy Spirit kind of lift off your life, right? Well, you're no longer under the umbrella of the protection of his that he provides. Whenever we're walking in righteousness, whenever we're obeying his truth, there's a protection for us. There's a covering, if you will, for us as believers. But our unholiness, our sin, brings separation each and every time. Every time that you sin, you will feel separate from God. You will feel like there's this distance between us and him. But here's the thing. While the Israelites stood afar off, God is holy. Yes, he is. He is merciful. He is merciful. Thankfully, in this story, he provides a mediator between God and man. The man Moses. He allows Moses to hear God's voice. He calls him up the mountain. He hears his voice. He brings to the Israelites the terms of the covenant, which is the Ten Commandments. He says, look, if you obey these commandments, if you obey the terms of the covenant, which I am right with you, I will be your God forever. I will bring you into the land. I will prosper you. I will destroy your enemies. I will bless you. I will multiply you. I will be your God. These are the terms of the covenant. But if you, however, do not worship the Lord your God, if you, however, follow after other gods, then I will be an enemy against you, basically. I will drive you out of this good land. Instead of multiplying you and blessing you, I will destroy you. It was the terms of the covenant, but God, in his mercy, sends Moses to speak to the people regarding these things. Now, some of the very first laws that he says to God, I mean, to the people, he says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. It was meant to bring about this sense of awe of his holiness. You are to have no other gods before me. Only God is to be worshipped. Only God is set apart. Only God deserves the honor and the glory that we bring to him. No other God is worthy of this. He alone is holy. God's holiness keeps us from sinning. Amen. His laws are given to us to keep us from sinning against him. That is the reason why we have the Ten Commandments. That is the reason why Jesus would say, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. And then the second command, to love your neighbor as you love yourself. Why? Is to keep us from sinning. The laws of God to keep us from sinning. Whenever we behold the holiness of God, we don't want to sin. We don't want to offend him. We don't want to offend a perfect and holy and righteous God. We just don't want to. God's holiness should keep you from sinning. So whenever you're faced with a temptation of whatever it may be, stop, think, behold his holiness. Behold how great he is. And you're not going to want to sin against him. He's so good. Amen. Can I get an amen that God is good? And his mercy endures forever. He's a holy God. So he displays the lightning. He displays the thunder. He displays the smoking mountain. He shakes the very mountain, all to bring about this healthy fear of God into the people's lives so that they do not sin against him. You know, we ought to have a healthy fear of God. Now, I'm not talking about like, as a believer, we don't have to fear that God is against us, that he's out to take us out. We're not to have that kind of fear. You know, the Israelites were not to think that because they seen this awesome sight with the lightning and the thunder and all these things that God was meant to destroy them. But as believers, as people of God, we ought to have a healthy fear in the fact that let's reverence who he is. That we do not sin against God, that we keep ourselves from sin, we keep ourselves from unholy things. We don't allow those unholy things in our lives. We don't allow unholy friendships and relationships in our lives because we fear God. Not that we fear that he's going to take us out. We fear who he is. He is holy. I don't want to offend. My sin offends a perfect and holy and righteous God. I just don't want to go there. Moses in verse 20 says to the people, "Do not fear, for God has come to test you, that the fear of him may be before you." So it's kind of like, it's almost controversial, right? He says, "Do not fear, that the fear of God may be before you." So which one is it, Moses? Should we not fear, or do we fear? It's both. It's both. Do not fear that God is, you know, do not have this sense of fear as though God is going to take you out, but have a fear of him which keeps you from sinning against him. Amen. The Proverbs 9:10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the Holy One is insight." Verse 21 says, "The people stood far off while Moses drew near to the thick darkness where God was." There's two kinds of people. Upon beholding the holiness of God, many will stand afar off. I don't want to draw near. He's too holy. I'm too imperfect. My sin is just too great. Then there's Moses like, "Yeah, but God is good." It's not because I'm good. It's because in his goodness, he is drawing me up the mountain. He is pulling me. Is the goodness of God that brings men to repentance. And no man can come into the Father unless the Spirit of God begins to draw them to repentance. Amen? Yeah. Amen. God drew Moses up that mountain. So many people who are just bound by sin, they remain separate from a God who is just wanting to commune with them, who is wanting to reveal to them his voice and have a relationship with him. Philippians 3:18 and 19 says, "For many of whom I have told you, and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross. Their tongue is destruction, their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame, with minds set on earthly things." So we have this issue in our life. Because we all have fallen short of the glory of God. We have all sinned, the Bible says, and fallen short of the glory of God. And we're like the Israelites. We're standing on this side, and God's way over there in his holiness. And we need someone to bridge the gap between us and a holy and righteous God. Because in our sin, we remain isolated. We remain separate from the goodness of who he is. And just as God sent Moses to be a mediator for the children of Israel, God sends his son Jesus to be a mediator between God and man. He's like, "I know that you are separate because of your sins, and you feel isolated, and you feel like you cannot approach the mountain of God. But God makes a way where there was no way through his son Jesus. He beckons you. He calls you with his Holy Spirit. And he desires that none should perish. It is the heart of the Father that none should perish, but that all will come into everlasting life. That all will come to know Jesus as the Lord and Savior." And so he does this by his Holy Spirit. He begins to draw us close to him. You're in this service today because God drew you into this place because by the Holy Spirit. So now you hear the Word of God. And the Word of God comes alive into your heart and you have a decision to make. Are you going to go up the mountain? Are you going to stand afar off like the people of Israel? Yes, He's holy. Yes, He's perfect. Yes, He is righteous and there is no one like Him. But He made a way through His Son so that you can be united with your Father. Amen. Perhaps this morning you feel separated because of sin. You felt like it was a struggle just to worship this morning. It was a struggle to enter into the presence of God. I want you to know today that God is holy. Yes, He is. But He's also made a way. He is a loving and merciful God that He made a way for you to be with God. You can be in a right relationship with God today. And you don't have to be as the Israelites and remain afar off. He wants to reveal to you who He is. He wants to reveal to you His love for you. That He loves you with an unconditional love. He loves you so much that He sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross for you today. That if you would confess Him as Lord, and if you would confess Him, the Bible says if we confess Jesus as Lord of our life, if we confess our sins, that He is faithful and just to forgive us of all of our sins. Yes, we messed up. Yes, we're unholy. Yes, we're undeserving. Yes, we are separated from God. But He says, I will wipe it clean. I will make you clean by the righteousness of my Son, Jesus Christ. You no longer have to stand there in shame. You no longer have to bear the guilt of your sin. You no longer have to remain separate from the Lord whenever He is wanting to be one with His people. If you're in this place today and you're saying, you know what, I want to be like Moses. I want to go up the mountain. I want to be where God is. I want to live this life out for Christ. I'm tired of living for myself. I'm tired of living for my selfishness. I need the grace of God. I need Jesus to mediate in my life, to be a lawyer, to defend my case before a holy and righteous God. Because here's the thing. Our sin doesn't only bring separation from God in this life. If we remain unrepentant, if we have sin that remains unrepentant, you will remain separate from God in the next life. Doesn't have to be that way. He's made a way. He's paved the way. He sends Jesus as a mediator to plead our case. He pleads before the Father. He is interceding just as Moses interceded for the people. Jesus is a better Moses as He is interceding at the right hand of God for you today. He's a better mediator. If you're in this place and you just need to give your heart to the Lord, you say, you know what, today is the day of salvation for you. And the Lord is asking you to respond. The Lord is saying, you know what, it's not about you being holy. It's not about you being perfect and you having it all together. It's about a holy God that we serve who has already made a perfect way and He loves you perfectly. You in this place today, if the Lord is speaking to you, if the Lord is drawing you by your Spirit, would you just stand to your feet? We'd like to pray. Stand to your feet before. Look, don't be ashamed of the Lord, because in the end, whenever we're standing before God, God's not going to say, well done, friend of yours. He's going to say either one or two things. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Or He's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. You're ashamed of Jesus today, He will be ashamed of you during that time. I'll give you the opportunity to stand and make a stand for Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you, Lord. Lord, you bridged the gap. Lord, there is no more separation. Lord, we can be with our Heavenly Father. All the sin, God, that we've had in the past is no more because of the blood of Jesus. We are washed, we are clean, we are made whole. So Lord, for those who are standing in this room today, I pray that salvation would come to them today. Lord, that they would repent of their sins, that they would see you as Lord, they would see you as holy, they would see you as separate, not like us. You are not like man. That they would behold you, that they would see their sinfulness, Lord, their unholiness. That they would repent and receive your mercy this morning. In the name of Jesus. God, we thank you for your mercy. Thank you, God, that you sent your Son, Jesus, as a mediator on our behalf. Whenever we were undeserving, God, you made a way, but there seems to be no way. So if you're standing, in your own words, you don't need me to coach you in a prayer. I just want you to repent. Confess your sins before the Lord. Ask Him to come into your heart. Ask Him to be your Lord and your Savior. Ask Him for guidance, that He will lead you and guide you in His truth. You can hear His voice just as I hear His voice. His words are written in the book of life, the Bible. We can read the Bible and hear what Jesus is speaking to us. And He wants to reveal His love. He wants to reveal His message to your life. If you made that decision, would you just get into the book? Get into the book. Read what the Lord has for you this morning. Read what He has for your life. God, we just give you all the praise. And we behold your holiness, O Lord. We thank you that your holiness leads to repentance. Whenever we behold you, we see who we are. But we also see your grace. We see your mercy. We thank you for that. We just give you all the praise and all the glory. And let God's people say, amen.
Today, before we get back into the message, next week we're going to be doing a cleaning session. I don't know if you ever cleaned out your house, but we're going to clean out our houses spiritually. And what we need you to do before next week is we'd like you to go around your house, around your place, and if there's some music that you don't need to be listening to anymore, bring it. If there's some stuff that you've been looking at that you don't need to look at anymore, bring it. If there's anything in your house physically or in your car or at your job and you know it's not of God, we're going to have a bonfire next Sunday after service, and we're just going to burn all those things. Now, we're going to write some stuff down next Sunday, but also if you have anything physically in your house, and I've done this before with friends. One time my friend, she was smoking weed and she knew she didn't need it in her house anymore, so she brought it to the bonfire. We all got high. I'm just joking, but it was close. But bring it. I had one friend, we used to listen to CDs, you know, like back if you're like my age, and we had CDs, and we went on Prospect Bridge, and it was all like death metal that he listened to, and he gave his life to the Lord. And I said, let's clean out your house. And so we took those CDs, we stopped our car on the top of Prospect Bridge and threw them into the water. It's probably a crime, but we did it for Jesus. And so we're gonna do it next Sunday, and so we're gonna have a big old barrel, and you just throw all your junk in it, whatever it is that doesn't honor the Lord. Maybe it's something that just consumes your time and you need to like get rid of a Netflix subscription. Amen. And whatever it is, just begin to bring those things before the Lord, because we want to live honorable and holy and separate because He is. And so we encourage you to do that. One last thing, Jackie Hale Perry wrote a book called Holier Than Thou. I highly encourage you to read it. It talks about the holiness of God. And then also we do have a winner getting our free cleaning supplies. And so if your number is 304-7893, if your last four digits are 7893, you get like all kinds of cleaning supplies worth like 7893. We got somebody? 7893. We don't know. Does anybody have a 7893? 7893. Come and talk to me after service. We love you guys, and we'll see you Wednesday at 6:30, and join us next Sunday as we clean out our houses.